We may go a while.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Breath of the Dark, it starts at 11:30, so we're just going to try this thing out.
All right. No complaints.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Happy Victory Monday. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How are we doing today on a Victory Monday? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You're hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, where you watched all of the post-game interviews right there on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Or you're hanging out with us on the Bama Central Facebook page right here on my own social media machines at Joe Gaither on the Twitter machine. You're finding us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, right here, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show. We're right here in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs, 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much money he can save you today. I know you don't want to deal with insurance, but today's a great day to do that. You want had a big victory this weekend, you can take care of some real-world minutiae by calling Derek Daniel, reworking your insurance at 205-758-3391. You need quality insurance, home, life, auto insurance, so Derek Daniel can take care of you. And we're proud to be in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios today with our man, Theo Fernandez. You can follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez double underscore. I don't know if I hit double underscore, if I just did two today when I tagged you. So we'll have to double check. We may have tagged the other Theo Fernandez, unfortunately. But that's okay. You guys know where to find Theo at Theo Fernandez double underscore on the Twitter machine, working for us at BamaCentral.com, being a grade A student at the University of Alabama. And Theo was over in Athens in Sanford Stadium. So we're going to start the show off with Theo, but what we're going to do is break down the game, what went right, what went wrong for Alabama. Are you a true believer again? Is Kalen DeBoer back in your good graces after going over to Athens and teaching the Bulldogs to behave? Unbelievable. I know I'll lead off right off the bat by saying I was wrong. We're going to spend the entire program talking about Caden Proctor's screen pass. No other play deserves more attention than the Caden Proctor play. No, but really we're going to talk about Ryan Grubb, what he got right, Kane Womack, what he got right, defending Gunnar Stockton, Ty Simpson being a Heisman Trophy favorite, and so much more. We're going to be on the voicemail machine in just a minute after we check in with Theo at 205-462-7340. We got a lot of voicemails, so we're going to ask Theo, good morning, how you doing? And then we'll go to our voicemail machine.
I am doing great, Joe. It is a great morning, and man, I just watched an incredible football game in person on Saturday, first time in Sanford Stadium. Did not disappoint. That place was loud. They did not get the memo on the whole blackout thing, but it didn't matter because when I walked in, my first thought was, man, this crowd is going to give this team a lot of problems. I'm sure at some point we'll talk about how they handled that, but I was very impressed by the atmosphere. That was an incredible game to be there in person for, and Athens, Georgia did not disappoint. Very good SEC college town. I would absolutely go back. Very glad I was there in person for that one.
Yeah, so massive, massive time. Easy trip, hard parking.
We just parked at a Walmart, and because three of us honestly we slept in my van. We got a little setup going. Hotels are a lot of money here.
Smart man. I know you got a nice van, so that's a smart play. Have some. What did you eat in Athens? Just a bunch of hot dogs, a bunch of trash food, burgers and pizza, or did you eat anything decent? What'd you have?
Well, we wanted to go to like some kind of sports bar or something, or any of the like local places on the strip. Everything was packed. Everything had cover. We found like a little Asian spot. Get some orange chicken with rice. A little bit of an interesting pregame meal.
Yeah.
It was a good amount of Asian food on the strip there in Athens. I was moderately surprised. We went into a Cloud Bar to watch some games. Then post game, everything was closed that wasn't on the strip. We weren't trying to go into a bar and, you know, deal with the many fights that I'm sure did break out and probably would have broken out.
I saw some videos from the stands of some Georgia and Alabama fans both trying to work each other over.
There was an Alabama versus Alabama fight.
Oh, can't be doing that. Section.
Like, there was, it was just hostile, man. So we got out of there. We got some Wingstop and, you know, rewatched some of the game highlights that night as we ate. And that was a perfect way to cap off the night.
Wingstop back in the van?
No, we sat down and ate it in the wings. I'm not letting anyone eat wings in my van.
There you go.
That would be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, you get all kinds of mess in the van. The van's too nice for that.
It is. We have standards here.
Well, how many hypothetically could you sleep in that van? 8?
Comfortably? Like, with everyone saying, yeah, okay, I got a solid night's sleep, 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Cozy in the van, in the Theo Fernandez van. Absolutely. So a lot of fun.
The more the merrier around here. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So Theo, how surprised were you? Scale of 1 to 10, because I am still sitting here on a Monday feeling very, very surprised, but the voicemails are saving right now. I just had one more come in, so I wanted to add it to the tally. Thank you for calling 205-462-7340, extension 800. I'm waiting on it to save, and we'll play the voicemails. But I'm still sitting here on Monday feeling very surprised, but what I'll say is this. I will never, ever, ever doubt this coaching staff with extra time to prepare again.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair take. I mean, DeBoer just time and time again proves that you give him 2 weeks and he will get it done. And he will come out with a very solid plan and he will come out and put his team in the best possible position to win.
Theo, Marman Everett asks, is it available for the Vanderbilt? Hey, you need to rent it out.
Yeah, we do rentals. You have my Twitter. You reach out. We always looking to get people in the van. Anyway, though, I was astounded by the game plan. I was blown away by the version of this team that we saw. And, yeah, I mean, the record speaks for itself, right? DeBoer off a bye week. And then also just the success Alabama's had with him here the last 2 years. Completely agree with your statement there, Joe.
Right. So think back 2 years ago, you got the extra time and you come out and you blow the doors off Georgia here at home. And obviously they dug back into it, took the second half lead, but you were able to get it done. Then you had the extra time. You go down to LSU and you blow the absolute doors off of them as well. They did not dig back in the game. They didn't have the competitive character of the Georgia Bulldogs. And then you go over to Athens this year. You jump up. You jump up 14-0, and okay, Georgia did dig back into it, make it a really good game, and put the game right back into jeopardy. But your game plan, we talked about it all week long. Alabama has to play from ahead. You have to play from ahead. You cannot fall behind. You have to get ahead, stay ahead, and that's exactly what this team did. So I am very surprised. We're going to digest it all, but we want you guys to be honored for calling. So let's. I think we have 4 or 5 different voicemails in the tank. Let's hit the voicemail line, 205-462-7340, extension 800.
Tide. Roll Tide. DeBoer in black. Please wear black the rest of your life, DeBoer. I need you to wear black for the rest of your life. I predicted 45-20. We won 24-21. Offenses were very interesting tonight. Defense really, really stepped up aside from, you know, some plays. Kane Womack. I don't know how I feel about you, Kane Womack. I'm going to be honest, because they ran for over 200 yards. But we won. We won. The defense stepped up in the clutch. They came in. Bray Hubbard was laying the wood, as he always does. Thank you, Bray Hubbard. Joe, Mason, and Katie Windham, y'all all picked the Georgia Bulldogs just because you couldn't think we could get it done. I tell you what, DeBoer was wearing black. That's all it is. Why did y'all think Georgia was going to win this game? Come on. The homer's always homer. Roll Tide. Oh, Ty Simpson. Send him to New York. I love this man. But, okay, there is a problem, though. We're always so good in the first half, and then the second half, our offense stalls like insanely hard. I don't know what that is. We probably need to get that fixed in order to win the national championship. But you know what? I don't care. We just beat Georgia on the road. Got the road monkey off of our back. Georgia still had the Alabama monkey on their back. Roll Tide. Also, can't end this voicemail without referencing that Caden Proctor screen pass. That man is a wide receiver, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, I love me some Caden Proctor. We need to do some more of that. That was beautiful. Ryan Grubb is an absolute mastermind when it comes to offense. I love Ryan Grubb. Thank you, Ryan Grubb. Oh, anyway, I'm going to go celebrate this some more. Joe Mason and Katie, can't believe y'all let me down. Theo, I don't know how you feel about it, but you know what? I didn't know your prediction. So, anyway, I'm ecstatic. I'm just rambling at this point. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. I love you.
Dax on the voicemail line, feeling it. Ty is sending Ty to New York, condemning Cain Womack and questioning the second half offense, but rubbing rubbing Katie, myself, and Mason's pick of Georgia in our face because we were all wrong.
I'm surprised Mason didn't get a direct knock for the Ty Simpson, the preseason Ty Simpson agenda, because, man, that
it's got to be over at this point.
Not going well, huh?
Mason has to tomorrow. I think I'm going to text Mason tonight. I'm going to make him open the show tomorrow. I'm not even going to do an intro. I'm just going to make him open the show tomorrow.
See, that's only fair, right?
I mean, he'll roll with it because that's the kind of guy he is. He's a good guy. He's a great co-host. But I'm probably going to text him when we finish tonight and be like, "Hey, man, whatever you need to do in your brain to like prepare an intro, you can say good morning if you want to. You can tell him where to find us if you want to, or you can just roll right into." You need to apologize. It's done at this point. If somebody asked me if Ty was going to go in the first round or if Ty was going to go to the NFL, do you think he's going to come back for another year or is he going to go to the NFL? And I said, shoot, based off these four games, that man is gone. Obviously, a lot can happen in eight games. But we were talking about our nightmare scenario in the summer about him staying in more time.
Being just good enough. But yeah.
My gosh, Tyson, what was it like from the stadium? Because it was like it was a magician. It was just a wizard. He was just singing. It was 8 for 8 on the first 8 first downs. And now obviously not all of them were passing, but several of them were, and several of them were third and longer varieties. Ty Simpson, 24 of 38. All right, we didn't hit the 43 number like we did in Wisconsin, or against Florida State, where you threw the ball 43 times. Threw it 38 times, so a few fewer. 24 of 38, 236, and 2 touchdowns. And then rushing, you count the sack yardage against him. Five rushes for 6 yards with a touchdown. I guess he got sacked how many times? Like 2? The whole night? One the whole night. And then was quarterback hurried. Stat broadcast, 0. Got it. The offensive line was just absurd. We've been on the offensive line's rear end all year long. You still didn't run the ball that well. What was it like up with the all 22 view, seeing Ty Simpson dice the defense apart?
It was magnificent. That's the only way to describe it. With how loud that stadium would get on every third down.
2 false starts the whole game.
With just the fact that, well, it was 13 of 19, right? I think was the number on third down conversions whole game. That's 19 times where Georgia's whole fan base thought they were about to get off the field.
Are you sick and tired of hearing dun, 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 dun?
No, because Alabama would always convert. Like, don't let me ever hear that war chant again. But that song, that brings back good memories now. Because Ty was just, he was a magician back there. That's the perfect word to use. And I was just stunned because it was almost like they would get into a routine, like first down. Yeah, we'll establish the run. Oh, whoops, it's 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9. And then, you know, maybe you pick up a couple on 2nd. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just an incompletion. But it just felt like Ty would almost always just find someone, something on those third downs. And it was incredible to watch. And it was also magnificent to hear that stadium go from rocking. So where'd all the noise go? What are we doing, Athens? Did we just move the chains again? It was awesome to hear.
Oh, man, put a little note on your thing. We got to go back and address the defense. Let's keep it going on the voicemail machine.
Roy, Lake Gunnerville. I tell you the truth. Ty Simpson, he played good. He made no mistakes. He played good. But when we're talking about ultimate retards, it's not about Bama. It's Kirby Smart. This man gets hexed by his old employer every game. From the 4th and 12 fake punt back in the day to whatever this it was, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You got a chance to tie the game, and you rush into a play and give the Caucasian the ball. I'm sorry. I don't mean to touch anything sore, but this guy's trash. This guy tripped over his own feet. Look at him. He looks like, my God, I can't even say what he looks like on the air. I don't know what stations this beautiful channel of the Joe Gaither Show is covered on, but I'm not even going to go there. I don't want to get you in trouble, brother. But my God. So, you know, what can you say? On script, Bama came out hot. On script, Mike Bobo gives a big flop. And then Mike Bobo and the Georgia offense tries to come back, and Kirby shows a little life with his defense, shuts them down in the second half. I don't even think Ty Simpson and the Bama offense scored in the second half. But when it came time to actually tie or win or do something to win the game, Kirby Smart got hexed. Kirby Smart choked against his old employer. And what does that give? That gives Kalen DeBoer a win, who is now 7-1 against top 10 opponents. And I got to get my props. Look, guys. Look, this is Roy from Lake Gunnerville. I'm an Alabama fan because I got family who played for Alabama. But I also have got Georgia friends and Georgia family. So when I was watching, honestly, you know, I was looking at it either way. But I can tell you this, I've seen enough. Kirby is hexed by his old employer. DeBoer gets up for big games. You got to watch DeBoer against what would think a weaker opponent. When you think it's a weaker opponent, DeBoer's on upset watch. But against a big guy, and you give him a bye, I give him my props. So, therefore, Roll Tide. Good win. Joe, you should have seen it coming, man. You should have seen it coming. It's time to believe. You got to see it as a theme. You got to see it as a trend. Kirby sucks against the University of Alabama. That's all there is to know. Roy, out.
Man, Roy, leading us right into it. Kirby Smart, I'm sorry. Kirby Smart lost his daggum mind.
Yes.
You lost your mind. I'm sitting here watching again, watching Cass Jones on my second screen take this play. And Kirby, I mean, he was his post. Did you watch his post game? Did you listen to his post game comments?
I got the greatest hits from it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I would do it again 10 out of 10 times. 10 out of 10 times you would play fastball, and instead of take, there's so we could do a whole show on that sequence.
Yes.
We could do an entire show on that sequence. You're driving, you're down three, you're sitting on right outside the red zone, or right outside the goal line. You're on the 15, basically. You're on the 12, and you've got two downs. It's 3rd and 5, and you run a little quarterback read option, and LT goes back-to-back plays. LT Overton, who I have been down on for so long, I need to start giving LT Overton some shine. First play, jams up the puller. He hits his blocker. Puller doesn't get out in front and get the next next man, which would have been Keon Sabb. Keon Sabb comes, makes a play. And first, Kirby, what? Kirby, they've been reviewing everything all night. The officials have been reviewing everything all night. And let's be honest, Theo, you probably couldn't see it from way up high, but it was a questionable spot. It was close. Gunner might have got a first down right there on that play. Might have. It was right there on the seven. It was right there, 7.5. It was close. Close enough to where if you take a dadgum breath, the officials will probably... We're reviewing the spot of the play.
They stopped that game for everything. And obviously, look, being where I was, I couldn't really tell what was a close call, but what versus what wasn't. There's so many breaks. That's besides the point.
No, I mean, but it is the point. It's if you give them a shot, you may not even have to run a fourth down play. You might have got a first down right there. You might have got a first down. You're looking at first and goal from the seven, and the stadium is still on tilt. Here's what I want to know from you in a second is how just juiced the stadium was to, oh, it's fourth and one. Oh, we're snapping the ball before we can even think, and oh, my gosh, we didn't get it. I just want to know how the air, the energy, because on TV, it looked like it was, oh, we're on 12, we're on 15, we're about to take the lead against Alabama and vex all of our demons right here. We're about to get this touchdown to, oh, but then, okay, so you knew. Kirby says, I know that we're going for it. We're doing two plays in a row. We're doing fastball. Okay, that's fine. Honestly, you're not in a bad process there. But if you know you're going fastball, and if you know you're going to this little pitch out play, which it was,
why is Cash Jones in the game?
On third down, people are like, oh, why are you giving the ball to Cash on fourth down? And Kirby basically goes back and says, well, it's because he was in the game on third down, and we knew we were going back-to-back plays. Well, where's Chauncey Bowens at that point? Where's Chauncey Bowens, who has been just ripping Alabama's rear end just the entire night? Like, just ripping it. I mean, people talk about, oh, Josh McCray could have got that. And McCray had the touchdown, but he didn't have a great game. He didn't have an amazing game, but he is the power back, and you're having a hard time tackling him in power situations. So why are you not putting McCray? Why are you not putting Chauncey Bowens? Why are you not giving Nate Frazier a second opportunity? Nate Frazier fumbles with Bray Hubbard. Bray Hubbard pops him early in the game. You never see Nate Frazier again, which, okay, but like, if you know you're going two plays and you know you're going fastball, why do you have Cash Jones in the game on third down? And I know, he's the third down back, Joe. He's the guy who pops out and, you know, he's in pass protection and he's in pass routes. He's a good little receiver, and he is. But if you already know we're planning on two downs, and it might be fourth and two, it might be fourth and three, it might be fourth and a half a yard, it might be not even fourth and a foot, and you're going to let him in there. And so, all right, that's the other issue. But LT Overton, back-to-back plays. First on the defense's right, and so he jams up the pulling offensive lineman, and the second offensive lineman has to run the hump, and Keon Sabb sneaks in and makes the tackle. Might have been a first down. Sorry, Kirby, you screwed yourself. And then so opposite side, LT Overton goes to the defense's left side, defeats a blocker, and Deontay Lawson comes in from the other side, and it's basically Deontay with a hand on him and LT Overton with a hand on him. They didn't even really get a full tackle on this man. They didn't even really get a full – you probably couldn't see it, but it was each of them contributing with a big strike, a big hand, and Cass Jones tumbles over, and Alabama's got the ball.
Yeah. I think that I completely get the decision to go for it. I completely get the decision to, you know what? Let's go tempo. Let's catch him off guard. I fundamentally disagree with the play call. I think that this goes for just about every level of football. Anything under a yard, there is one direction to go, and that is straightforward. Straightforward. It's not rocket science. Besides the point. It's fundamentally mishandled.
Put me in the stadium, though, because you have Alabama just back up two or three series. Alabama comes out of the second half, misses a field goal after a decent drive, which worst kick I ever seen in my life. And then Georgia goes down and scores. And so now it's a 3-point game, and then another stop, and everything's rolling. And you're right there. If you kick a field goal and it's 24 all, what's that stadium doing? And then kind of how was your experience? That's what I'll.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, we felt pretty hopeless in the stadium. And we felt like it in no way felt like we were winning that football game. From the time, I guess from getting stopped on fourth down on that second drive of the half.
Yep.
Until Georgia gets stopped on that fourth down.
Unbelievable. You handed it right back to us.
They had all the momentum in that place. We were lifeless, man. Like, I'm watching that, and honestly, you just get that feeling of, like, despair almost. Like, exactly what I felt, you know, in Florida State as, you know, it sets in that they're going to pull away and win that game and that we're not coming back. Like, it really felt like Georgia was controlling that thing. Their fans were completely in it. You know, you saw the offense just, the Alabama offense just continue to sputter. I don't know, though. When you're that close, you've got so much time left. I completely understand.
You've got so much time left, so, like, you're not even... Like, here was my thought. Here was my... Like, you have now seized control of the game. You got the stop you needed out of half, right? If Bama went 2-for-1 right there, ending the half with a touchdown and starting the half with another set of score, field goal or touchdown, like, buddy, it's over at that point. It is just hang on for dear life and it's done. But you get the Georgia, you get the stop coming out of half. And so, oh, the fans who are already starting to feel a little here's our stop. Yes, let's go. And start to drive down the field. And then McCray gets in the end zone. It's a 3-point game. So you've got plenty of time. This decision was made at 13 minutes left in the game. And so all you need to do is just keep stacking the momentum. Keep stacking the momentum. Keep that. Don't like, the game is on a knife edge. If you push too hard, you're going to slip off and cut yourself. If you pull back too much, you're going to slip off and cut yourself. You are literally on the bow. The momentum is just barely in your hand. It is sand in your hands, and you can't wave your hands and lose all the sand. You can't grip it too tight, and the sand squeezes out of it. You've got to, is it 48 special, 38 special? Hold on loosely, special, yeah. But don't let go, right? If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control. So you're clinging so tight to this game that you lose control. But, buddy, you were in control. And all you got to do is just keep stacking little stacks of momentum. You're at home. 13 more minutes of that momentum? 13 more minutes. If you tie the game, I thought Alabama's offense was good throughout the entire game. Good enough in the second half. I don't have much condemnation for the second half offense, because I think that you were basically really playing smoke and mirrors with the running game in a huge way. And Ty was performing pretty well. So you keep stacking them. You tie the game. You put Alabama's heart in its throat, literally. It's now 24-24. We've got to get a score. And look, even if you didn't score the rest of the time, when Alabama gets the ball back at, what, 3:30, late in the game, it needing like two first downs.
3:20, yeah.
Right, 3:20, you get the ball back for Alabama. And if it's tied, the game is tied, and you need a field goal. And you just had Connor Talty just kick the ugliest bleeping field goal of your life. And you're asking Ty, hey, man, you got to get this close enough for Connor to make a makeable kick.
Under 40.
Right. Just under 35, especially in Athens right there. You got to get it close, man, and you got to push this ball. And things have started to junk up. There is no running game left. And the pressure would have been squarely on Alabama to don't mess this up. Don't throw an interception. Don't throw a pick six, Keely Ringo, this baby, and it goes the other way, right? And so for Kirby, like, The process is horrific. It is. I am clinging so. I am white knuckling this thing. I am driving as fast as I can because I got to get there. I got to get this lead. It's fourth and one. It's at home. I can't lose this game at home. And you know, no patience, no belief in your own offense. Like, you're going to get more possessions. Take the points. Get another stop. You've been stacking some stops up here in the second half, and you've been figuring out kind of this smoke and mirrors offense that Ryan Grubb was operating. Like, Ryan Grubb, Ryan Grubb is a madman.
Yes.
Ryan Grubb is absolute psychopath, and basically he had to be because there's no run game to be had, and it is screens all. I think we saw every screen known to man from Ryan Grubb because there was just, we ain't got no running game. You remember when the quick passing game really was popular early? It was, this is just an extension of the running game. Urban Meyer in the spread. Well, swinging it out to Percy Harvin is really an extension of the running game. Like, you got to put the pressure all the way back on Alabama by tying the game.
I get all those points.
But if you're going to go for it.
Yeah.
If you're going to go for it, he's talking, he goes, well, we wanted to go fast. We didn't want them to get their cleats in the ground. We didn't want them to get set.
You go fast because you want to catch someone off guard, because you think that you're in a potential disadvantageous position and you want to use surprise to your advantage. Fourth and one in that situation, you don't need the help of momentum. That's something that you get your guys in. You go straight forward that close. It's not a play you should be stopped on. That is, in almost every circumstance, you're going to fall forward, get it, and then you can get your six later on.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just...
It's an unbelievable decision. It is Kirby feeling the moment, and like, he almost, in my opinion, almost never feels the moment. He is almost always stone cold, and his explanation after the game, it was defiant. It was I would do it 10 out of 10 times. And it's like, well, you need to review your process a little bit. The result was bad, but like, I don't love grading like the results. We grade the process, and the process was not good. You are going to your right, where you've got young tackles, young offensive linemen, and you get whipped by LT Overton, one of Alabama's veteran defenders, and he gets a hand on Cash. Like, I know Cash has been in the program for like 50 years.
He's like a fifth.
Like a fifth or a sixth year guy. But like, why did you pay Zachariah Branch all this money? Why did you go get Kobe Young last year from Miami? Why do you have Noah Thomas? Why do you have Josh McCray? Why did you get Josh McCray out of the portal from Illinois? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me why you turn to, and it may be like, you could say, well, Joey, they're trying to surprise him. They're trying to catch him off guard. The one guy they didn't think would get the ball. And that's his first touch of the game. That was Cash Jones's very first touch of the game. And if, you know, Cash Jones is probably a yes, sir type. It's probably a yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, how high type. But I think if I were Cash Jones's father, I would say, you're going to give my son the ball. That's the first touch he's going to have. You're going to ask him to do that on the first touch. You're not going to give him a warm-up touch earlier in the game. You're not going to give him a little, you know, oh, it's second and seven from midfield. Let's get him the ball so he knows what it feels like, so he knows what the moment feels like. Like, it's absurd. I would be upset if I were Cash's father with, you're going to put my son in that position.
It's baffling. It is.
It's unbelievable, really. But Roy is correct right there by saying that we need to start accounting for Kalen DeBoer with extra time, and we need to start accounting for Kalen DeBoer against big-name opponents. I think he is right. 6-7-2, 7-1 against top five, top 10 teams. Absolutely absurd.
And I think, are you playing a voicemail right now?
I'm going to keep going the next one. I want you. Go ahead, though.
No, I mean, it just needs to be addressed. The Kirby record against Bama. Man.
I don't lose any sleep over it. That's what he said.
Yeah. What's everyone else's record against Alabama?
That's the worst comment in the world.
That is incredible.
He goes, what's everyone else's record against Alabama? Florida State is 1-0 in the last 5 years because you hadn't played them since 2017. Vanderbilt's 1-0 in the last 5 years, because I think this was the last year was the first time you played them in a while.
Oklahoma's 1-0 in conference.
Oklahoma's 2-0 dating back to a Sugar Bowl, right, in 2014. Yeah. Tennessee is 2-1 in the last 3 years. Like, that is a pathetic excuse. What's everybody else's record against them? That is the most... That answer makes me want to use a lot of cuss words and call Kirby Smart names that I don't believe he actually is. But like that is a very soft answer, and that is a very I hate the media type answer. What's everybody else's record against them? Well, it's not Nick Saban's Alabama anymore. I'm sorry, but it's just Michigan is 2-0 and really 2-1 in the last three games against Alabama. So just pick like, are y'all Mississippi State, Georgia? Or are you Michigan? Which program are you closer to? Are you LSU, or are you? I mean, in LSU, Brian Kelly's got a win over Alabama in the last. So what are you, 3-4-1? Alabama, you're 1-3. You're 1-4. I think with
one
Brian
of those
Kelly.
Two, yeah.
So like, which program are you closer to, Kirby Smart? Are you closer to Michigan, who won a national title a couple years ago, and Michigan is 2-1? You know, you got a. Yeah, you got two bowl games. You got a playoff game, and you split two bowl games. You beat them in the ReliaQuest Bowl in like 2019. Alabama beat Michigan, yeah. And then you've lost to them in two postseason games. Are you closer to Michigan, or are you closer to, I don't know, Ole Miss? Who are you really?
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, look, that's a great answer for the egos of any Alabama fan who got to hear that. But yeah, no, I agree. That's a very interesting response out of Kirby Smart post game.
I don't lose any sleep over it. It doesn't mean anything. It's not going to affect next year's game, and it's not going to affect next week's game. Well, guess what? Next week you get to play Kentucky.
Yeah.
This 33 home game win streak, like, is built on the backs of playing Kentucky and Austin Peay. Kentucky, Austin Peay, Marshall,
pre-Pavia Vanderbilt.
Yes. Missouri comes to town. The old SEC East rolls in,
right.
And you know you're playing Florida every year in Jacksonville. Basically, your biggest nemesis in the SEC East.
Once in a while, Auburn might make it close in the second half. Yeah,
that's a terrible answer, Kirby. You ready for the next one? You got more thoughts on Roy's call?
Nah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Keep going on the voicemail line 205-462-7340 extension 800.
Joe, how dare you pick Alabama wrong? You know, I'm going to claim my support. Be expecting another phone call from me, and I will say that was Ty's best game, and I want you and your guest thoughts on the Vanderbilt game. Thank you, and roll Tide. Bye.
That's Everett Osmer. Everett, I'm sorry for doing it, man. I'm sorry for picking Georgia. I just thought that's what the film said. I thought that's what the film said. He said that was Ty Simpson's best game. He's absolutely right. Ty Simpson, I don't care about 17 of 17 against ULM. I don't give two rips about that. I don't give two rips about all the great throws he made against Wisconsin's bad defense. Georgia was unloading the clip at Ty Simpson.
And he was just cool, calm, collected, got it done.
I'm rewatching it last night, trying to work on my little film review piece, which will be coming out later today. And the film review piece is going to be on Ryan Grove's creativity. But as I'm watching it, he's got a backside dig in the second half that I think it was to Lottie, Lazia Brooks. It was either to Brooks or to Isaiah Horton. And it is just masterful, looking through the right side of the defense, knowing you've got a backside dig from left to right, staring at everybody looking right, opening up the window, and then snapping his head, bam, and just letting it go. Oh, there he is coming into the window. I'm throwing it as the window is opening, and it's just perfect. Ty, I was rewatching it last night, trying to think, where am I putting Ty Simpson in my pantheon of Alabama quarterbacks in the 2000s? Yeah. And like, of course, you got a long way to go to pass Bryce.
Yeah.
But Are you in the Tua category? Maybe you might be close to that Tua category right now already. That performance was insane. Somebody said, oh, he's a game manager. He just didn't make mistakes. And it's like, buddy, if you're not throwing those third down passes, you're punting. You're throwing an interception or you're punting, and the momentum, like that first drive was how many plays? The first drive, let's see, drives chart right there. First drive is 14 plays, 73 yards, and it is Ty Simpson dragging you down the field. But with third down conversion after third down conversion, you get the, all right, third and 10, third and 8, scramble, third and 10, pass, third and 5, pass. Here we go. Keeping on going. And oh, third and 6, touchdown, Jeremy Bernard. 3 third downs. And okay, only the third and 5 really is third and manageable. 4. Did I say 4? Yeah. Third and 8. Count them because I can't count. Third and 8, third and 10, third and 5, third and 6. Yeah. 4 third downs on the first drive. 3 of them, quote, third and long. I guess you can debate third and 6, but you're on the goal line right there. The field is condensed. You got to squeeze this baby into Jeremy Bernard. Ty Simpson, I mean, if you're not giving that young man flowers after this weekend, you don't know football, period. You don't know football. And Georgia, rewatch the game. Georgia's blitzing their tails off at him. Only a couple of times sat in coverage. Ty Simpson just an amazing performance.
No game manager converts 13 third downs.
Yeah.
But plain and simple.
Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. You ready for the next one?
Yeah, I'm ready.
One thing. Everett, I appreciate your call. I will get to the Vanderbilt game tomorrow, period. Like, today's all about Georgia and that game review. We will do 4 full days on Vanderbilt and on how much Diego Pavia gives me nightmares.
What a matchup.
Yeah, and so Everett, I don't want to ignore that piece of your question, but I will get into Vanderbilt tomorrow. I'm going to put Vanderbilt on my TV throughout the rest of the day after we finish work and try to figure the Commodores out. Oh, Kane Womack. I know poor Kane. Kane Womack hasn't slept. He hasn't slept in days.
You have a great game. You have a great game. You're probably your best showing as a coordinator this year. And now you got to rebound right into this.
Absolutely.
Do so not envy that.
Here we go. 205-462-7340, extension 800.
Hey, Joe. It's JD Zaza from WBUA 23.
My man.
I told you, buddy. Roll Tide. Also, question for your show. What is the play of the game? I think it's the LT Overton trip up of the Georgia running back on that 4th and 1 when they went up tempo. Have a good one, man, and Roll Tide.
Oh, Roll Tide, JD. Appreciate your call. Theo, what's your play of the game?
It's got to be 4th and 1, right? I don't think there's another answer. I mean, just, you know, you can say, yeah, you know, what a conversion on third down to ice the game. At the same time, you don't get that. Georgia's still in a pretty disadvantageous position. 4th and 1 is just, it was incredible showing by the defense. That's not a stop that August 30th Alabama football is making a single time out of 10. You know, that's really, really shows how far this team's come in a month.
I like that play a lot. I like that play a lot, and it's probably number one. I also love Bray Hubbard. Bray Hubbard forced fumble. You steal 3 points right there after you punted for the first time. You punted for the first time. Georgia's feeling good about themselves. They finally got you off the field. It's 14. They're feeling like they can build some momentum, and bam, Bray Hubbard forces a Nate Frazier fumble. And yeah, you didn't do much on offense right after that, but you did steal 3 points, and those 3 points were the difference there. So I'm a big fan of Bray Hubbard's play right there. But just pick your favorite screen. Pick your favorite screen. Maybe even the third and one, you have Jeremy Bernard coming. Yeah. You have Jeremy Bernard coming behind him. Ty flips it, and it kind of looks like a sweep. No, I'm I'm not going that. I'm going Jeremy's only pass of the game. It looks like a sweep. Jeremy pulls up and throws a 1 yard pass to Ryan Williams. And it's just like, pick your favorite non-conventional play. Like the AI rendering of the Caden Proctor play, the painting that I posted. Like, if I can just get an artist, and if I can't, I'm gonna print that off. Like, I don't have a man cave right now, Theo, but Caden Proctor, you will live forever in my proverbial man cave in a painting right there, just rumbling down the track. How many times did you hear, "Hey, what's that coming down the track?"
Okay, that's my number one complaint. My number one, like, what is happening? I heard it one single time, and it was not in the stadium.
The mean machine that's red and black.
No, I was expecting to hear it all again. I was ready to hear it because I was going to yell, like, "Give me Alabama!" Like, maybe it was a coordinated thing. Maybe they were like, "No, we can't do that anymore because of Alabama." But no, I heard a couple like fans chanting it on the streets, walking in. Not a single time the rest of the afternoon.
To throw that ball to Caden Proctor. This is a bad insinuation, Theo. But as I'm sitting in the living room, I thought, are they on drugs? Is the coaching staff just up there? Are they tripping acid? Are they just like, you have the bye week? Did they just get together and just do? They just threw all the drugs in a pile, and everybody reached in and did some. And it's like, what if we did this? What if we did? And DeBoer, the answer is no. First off, the answer is no. Because DeBoer in postgame says, "Oh, we've been working on that play since fall camp." It's like, oh, y'all didn't just come up with that in the bye week. Hey man, what if we did some wacky stuff right here? What if we did some of that wacky tobacky and did some and did some crazy stuff right here and threw the ball to 74? And he's like, "No, we've been working on that play since fall camp." Like, I know that's not the answer, but like, it's inconceivable.
I thought I might have been accidentally given some drugs when I saw Caden Proctor standing there.
Yes.
I did a double take. I told my roommates, like, what is Caden doing there? And he looks.
And that was the second.
We're all stunned.
That was the third time he was actually split out. The first time he comes in motion and they call a false start on Jam Miller, which I looked at that so many times and didn't see it, but I guess they did. And he was just going to come in and do the meanest wham block of the world. Like, I know that was going to be a run play. I know he was going to hit a backside cutoff. Somebody, a defensive lineman was going to be left unblocked and step forward and just get ear holed by Caden. I know that was what's going to happen. So, deprived of that moment. And then they had Caden split out at a different time, and they motioned him back in and split, and he kind of got back to tackle.
Man, he deserves that touchdown.
Unbelievable. What they did with the offensive line, I can't believe we've gone all this time and not mentioned Brookwood High School Zone, Brookwood Panthers, right up the road, William Sanders. We've seen William this year get a little late garbage time offensive guard play. We've seen him get a little bit of, oh, he's a souped-up fullback. He's a souped-up tight end, blocking tight end. We've seen that actually in a little bit of crunch times through the first three games. But no, like four drives into the game, you're putting Brookwood High School Zone in at left guard, and William Sanders just really, I think, acquitted himself. You have William at left guard. You move Will Conformby from right tackle to right guard. You throw Michael Carroll back out there. We've been watching Michael Carroll. Just the manipulation of the offensive line. Jackson Lloyd got himself some snaps at left tackle, and it's just like, y'all are madmen. Yeah. Y'all sat in a circle. You threw as many... Everybody emptied their pockets. Oh, you've got that drug. You've got this drug. Everybody's got different drugs. Let's all reach in and do some blind drug tests right here. Like, and I'm being facetious. I want to make that very clear. That is not what happened. That is what happened with Dan Lanning. Did you see Dan Lanning?
No.
Because you were at the game.
I heard it was just...
His eyes were as big as my head.
Really?
In the post game. And
oh, wow.
He was like, his face, and he was, they won, so they're not going to drug test him, but like, he was not sober. We'll say that. I just am like, how do you come up with this? How do you just decide, hey, man, William Sanders hasn't played much left guard this year as far as in crunch time. Like, he hasn't been tested. Let's throw him out there against Georgia. What? Oh, and like, if you're doing things like this, put yourself on the Georgia coaching staff. If I'm on the Georgia coaching staff, I'm thinking, what are they doing? And it is putting me in a, there's got to be something unusual here. It's putting me on my heels. So like I cannot give enough credit to the Alabama coaching staff as a whole, offensively and defensively. Everybody's complaining about Kane Womack and the defense giving up however many rushing yards in the game. When we go back to my comparison, gave up 227 on the ground. Held them to 130 in the air. Held them to 130 in the air because Kane Womack just committed. Oh my gosh, Kane, what a game. Amazing. Unbelievable. I will not hear any Kane Womack slander, period, because he commits to staying in zone coverage and says, read it, Gunner, read it. Mm-hmm. You can't. I don't think you can. Read it. And you get into a lot of cover three, a lot of cover four. You get into a lot of just different zone coverage, eyes coverage, like they used to, like they've been saying. You remember how fascinated we as a media were last year with Kane Womack eyes coverage. What is eyes coverage?
Almost like a key, like a buzzword,
right? Yeah. And he just sits in there and says, Gunner, I don't believe you can read it. And he couldn't. He didn't. He was late on his reads. He was late with his own eyes. He was late in his progression. And yes, Georgia bust a few big runs. Give them some credit. But Kane was gambling his butt off in the run game and came up sevens a lot of the time. A lot of the time. And like, Georgia's a good offense. They went to Tennessee and put 40 points up. Like, they're a good offense. To hold them to 21, yeah, you gave 227 on the ground, but you're sitting there like gambling with your life here. Oh, what are we going to do? What's the coverage going to be? What's the front going to be? Is the front going to be right for their run play? And more often than not, Kane was right for their run play. So, golly, Kane Womack, amazing game. But so, JD Zaza, my play of the game. Oh, yeah, it's got to be the 4th-and-1 stop. But I also think that that's a lot of Kirby being an absolute just bozo. I'm going to give credit to Ryan Grubb. I'm going to give credit to Ryan Grubb and give it to Caden Proctor right there. I think the Caden Proctor screen pass, because I think that became a, we got this game and you are just guessing at what we're doing, Glenn Schumann. You're just and maybe you guessed right, and they did guess right a lot, especially in the second half. But especially with where that was, you're trying to get a touchdown to take the lead to 10 before you're going into half. And that touch, like, if you're at three and you kick a field goal on that drive and it's six
versus 10.
Right. Oh,
especially after you've already kicked after recovering the fumble.
Right, right, right. You recovered the fumble basically on the 20-yard line, on the 23 yard line, and you didn't get you didn't get a touchdown. You got points, but you didn't get a touchdown. You get that drive back in your own end. How far was it right there? You started that drive on the Alabama 25. So it was an 8-play, 75-yard drive in 94 seconds. And you're like, if we get a touchdown here, we can go 2-for-1. And they almost did go 2-for-1. But you can't go 2-for-1 before you get the one. And so to drive down to close the half with a touchdown, that Caden Proctor screen pass being kind of the almost exclamation. I mean, Ty Simpson, your decisiveness on the next play. I'm rolling out. I could try to hit this rollout pass right here to, I think it was Jeremy who was right in front of him. But no, I'm just going to put my head down, and I'm taking these 4 yards myself. Get and right. Jeremy does get in the defender's way, and it's Ty Simpson saying, I haven't run much, but here's my chance to run. Just an amazing play. You ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
I think this is the last one.
Good morning, guys. Robert from Brookwood. What a beautiful morning. What a beautiful morning. Bama 27, Georgia 24, 24-21. I didn't see it coming, but what a way to break this bad streak. We've been on the road to go to Georgia and it's better to get wins on the road to me than it is at home, because you just love to see the other fans cry. Great effort by Simpson. Jumbo, a friend of mine, has been ragging the defense, but I thought the last two series, the defense did what it did and stopped Georgia when it had to. We know what the weakness was on this team, run defense. I think it'll get better. Focus on Vandy right now because they can beat us, but just get revenge. Thank you, Joe, for Friday night at Brookwood for coming to visit us. You bring good luck. Try to make every game the rest of the year. Maybe we'll win. Appreciate it, guys. God bless.
Oh, man, take it. That's the last one we got.
Yeah, first of all, yes, I'm sure there will be a question asked in 2 hours when we go to the pressers about, okay, coaching staff, we've been here last year. We beat Georgia. We put out the rat traps before Vandy. We're not going to get stumped.
About that.
How do we go and not have this happen again? So that will be a point of very, very nerve-inducing discussion, I think, over the next 5 days. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Although Vandy's offense does look kind of legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I want to hit on, the offense was pretty gimmicky.
Alabama's? Or Vandy?
Yeah.
Or Georgia? Go ahead.
Alabama's, right? Like, you look at some of the stuff that was being done, and
that's why I think it was amazing. Keep going.
I thought it was awesome, right? But then you saw the, now look, the second half, like the game just felt different. Second half was just a different half than the first. But at the same time, you know, when you try so many different things, when you have, you know, Bernard multiple times rolling out to throw a pass, and I know he ended up running one of them before, you know, after looking to throw. All that is out of an inability to establish the run. That is concerning. Yeah, like, that is front seven, gold star for your work. Secondary, I'm going to need to actually have a question for you on that, Joe, in a minute once we get there. Establishing the run was, that was not what I was hoping for out of there, but also probably what we should have expected coming in. When I say what did expect coming in, just inability to, you know, move the ball until the very end, right? Then it all flips. Joe?
Okay, so how many plays? Total drives, scoring drives, average start. I can't see how many plays you ran. No, let's see. Comparison, maybe advanced stats, that one I want. Anyways, I just counted my reel, because I made a reel last night that I'm going to write about with Ryan Grove's creativity. How many plays do you think that I have on my reel that I thought, that's unusual? Or the framing is actually this, is that play was run because Alabama can't run the football.
Okay.
That play was run to move the ball because Alabama cannot really run, can't just line up and just smash them.
This is out of the whole game.
Out of the whole game.
9.
25. I have 25 plays on this reel. 20 of the plays. There's got to be plays on here somewhere on Stat Broadcast. I'm just not seeing it. I'm just not seeing exactly where to go here. Keep going. Well, we can do a little addition. 38 passes. Yeah, 38 passes and 38 runs. That's 60. That's 76. Right?
Was it really split evenly?
On stat, 39 passes. Jeremy gets a pass. So 77 passes and 70 and 38 runs. Is right at 77 plays. In 77 plays, a third of them are run of just like, hey, man, bottom of the playbook, just pull it out. And I have screens here. I have screens. I have quick passes. I have rollouts. I have plays where there's heavy motion. I have plays where Jeremy's playing running back. I have plays where Jeremy is just doing Jeremy things. obviously the Caden Proctor play. Lots of screens here. You've got a screen to Leslie Brooks. You got a screen to Ryan Williams. You got lots of screens here. 25 plays that I looked at. I was like, that's probably run because you can't line up and actually run, you know, duo. You can't run inside zone. You can't run pin and pull. You can't actually run the ball for four yards. And so I'm like, I'm just like, what are we doing? But like in that sense, I'm thinking, oh, we need to figure out a way to run the ball. But like in the other sense, it is flowers on fire. It is like applause to Ryan Grubb to figure out a way. Hey man, we can't really run the football. Let's mess with them. And all of these plays led to the final third and six, where Ty is starting to roll out one way. It's basically looks like it's going to be a quick screen to Isaiah Horton. He turns, rolls the other way, and hits Jam Miller in the flat wide open. And it's just like all these plays build off of each other to set things up, move Georgia's eyes, and to really just manipulate Georgia's defense. And I was just so impressed.
Yeah, no, there was some fun stuff to watch. And so I've sat down and I've watched the like 35-ish minute, YouTube highlight cut. I'm going to sit down today and watch the actual game. Hard to find time to do it, coming back from Athens and then getting back. And apparently they don't cancel homework for beating Georgia anymore. So that wasn't fun, but there was just so much stuff that I watched from up at that top of that stadium, which, first of all, I do love watching a football game that way.
That's the best place. Dude. People are like, I got to sit in the lower bowl. Get you some binoculars, sit up high, and watch that all 22 unfold. Yeah,
I we're buried in the corner, midfield. Ah, that'd be beautiful. I love sitting in the press box. Mm-hmm. Perfect view. I hate the broadcast angle now, genuinely. I never want to watch it again. But there was just so much stuff that I saw that I was like, what are we doing? That looks interesting. That looks fun. And it's another thing I want to point out. We saw the origin of those, little Bernard rollout tosses, because that's what Alabama ran during A-Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they threw the deep bomb to Horton, and, without given any future opponents a reminder, what if we run one of those? And next thing you know, Horton's 40 yards down the field. Like, I love that it's something that's being worked in, established, because
Vanderbilt's wasting their time on it this week.
Yeah, like they're wasting. No, if Bernard runs out, got to make sure we're watching the short pass. We got to make sure he can run. Maybe you're forgetting about what happened during A-Day. Or maybe we just don't run it for another month and pull it out, against Oklahoma in a huge moment. Like, it's just, this is so much stuff that anybody has to be prepared for now. And you have no clue when or if it'll come out, when or if they'll use it. Game planning for Ryan Grubb has to be a very difficult job, right?
Yeah, now. Kane Womack's not sleeping, but what's the Vanderbilt coordinator? Vanderbilt DC is DC, not defensive coordinator. You still got to type it in for Vanderbilt, or you're going to get some weird stuff. Steve Gregory, Steve Gregory's not sleeping either, trying to defend this Ryan Grubb offense. Yeah, so that's going to be nuts. Let me hit a quick break, and we'll come back and put the finishing touches on the show. I've got a few more things to talk about. I want to thank everybody who called the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800. And we want to remind you the program is brought to you by Derek Daniel State Farm Insurance. We're live at the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs, home insurance, life insurance, auto insurance. You can get a quick auto insurance quote just by calling 205-758-3391. He can save a lot of money for you, give you better coverage, give you a local agent, give you somebody who you can call if you've got things going wrong in your life. So call Derek Daniel today. He's got his employees upstairs right now. Red is upstairs waiting to take your phone call at 205-758-3391.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, just another couple quick things for us as we wrap it up on a Monday, recapping this Alabama victory over Georgia, 24-21. I had three players to watch in the game, and a fourth, an honorable mention. I went Caden Proctor, I went Bray Hubbard, and I went Quay Russo. You already know this, Theo, since you watched Friday's show and you listened to Friday's show four times for us. I appreciate it. Caden Proctor, amazing game. Bray Hubbard, amazing game. What I want to address is Quay. Quay busts his foot, but I think that he had surgery on Sunday. I think a broken bone in his foot, and gonna be, I don't want to put a timetable on it that people are gonna hold me to, 6 to 8 to 12 weeks.
Wow.
Like a broken bone in your foot, that's a while. It's gonna be a minute. So this is the Yanzi Pierre show now, and it is, I mean, you look at the Wolf Room, you've lost Jamarian Latham and Quay Russo in the span of a week. So it's the Yanzi Pierre show, it's the Justin Hill show, it's the Noah Carter show. And I think that Yanzi, I love. Yanzi, former five-star out of Eufaula, I love. I like Justin Hill, and I like Noah Carter. I like both those guys, but just young. I think that both of them are talented, but just young, and they don't have enough meat on their bones quite yet. They need to get a little strong. And I know Justin Hill put on a lot of weight from when he early enrolled in the winter to now. I know he was up like 40 pounds or whatever, but still needs another 20 or so. Needs to get a little more, little more strength on him. I think Noah Carter, I think both those guys, Justin Hill and Noah Carter, are really strong pass rushers. What this might do, I mean, Yanzi, you're full-timer now. You are a full-time Wolf. And if he needs a break, I think you might end up seeing a guy like, I don't even want to say it because it's going to make the fans go nuts, but 31 might get some playing time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was waiting to hear.
It might be Keon Keeley time in Tuscaloosa.
And look, we have not seen him much in any capacity. We talked about him a lot this summer, kind of, you know, when we were looking for content, finding something to talk about. And this is one of the things I said: injury away. You're an injury away.
Starting to get a little thin in that Wolf Room.
It's getting a little thin. All right, man, let's see. Why were you up there at the top of that recruiting class? Why were you two spots?
I don't know that they'll flip him back to, I don't know if they make him a Wolf or if you just adjust the defense to where you're playing double, like basically double banded
to get him in there.
Right. And because you need bodies, and you're playing bandits on both sides. Cause I mean, when Jamarian was in there, it was almost like you're playing double bandit. Sort of. So I'm concerned about Quay's injury. I'll say that. Yes. I am concerned about what happens to the team defensively as they continue to try to work things out with Quay's injury. Now, obviously, it worked out on Saturday. I think Yanzi's a good player. I think Yanzi has an opportunity to assert himself as, that five-star moniker, you know, is true. So I think Yanzi, you're in good hands, but it's that second spot. It's the fill spot. It's the depth spot. When Yanzi gets tired, needs a little break. Who's will Justin one? Hill and Noah Carter be able to, step right in there? But just impressed with the defense as a whole. I can't say that enough. I know people are upset about Damani giving up that play, giving up the touchdown pass, but it was a straight up technique. Damani's playing inside out. And Bobo calls a play that's almost basically like a stab and go, a hitch and go, and he gets beat. Like, getting beat happens. getting beat just happens. Like, these are great players. Georgia has great players. And it's just part of the game where you're gambling or you're playing the game on a knife edge. Yes. Like, sometimes you slip off the knife edge and you get cut. Like, it is a hard balance to be right there.
All right, and that was my biggest question for you coming in, the biggest thing that I just have not gotten a sense of yet from, you know, my limited ability to see replays. You're not concerned about Damani?
No. The only people, Damani's not playing physically in the run game. Maybe a little. Maybe you might could fire him up a little bit more in the run game. But, like, you're talking about a cornerback. Cornerbacks don't tackle. You get a cornerback, like, and I'm saying that, like, you get a cornerback that does tackle and you have a special player. I think Damani's a really good player. I think he's a really good player. I think he's really dang good in coverage. And I think on that play, it was Kobe Young, right? Scores the first touchdown. I think it was. Let me just make sure.
That sounds right.
Scoring. That's what I want. Kobe Young, 38 yards. Basically, Horton's playing inside of him, and it looks like either a slant or a hitch that he just takes the one step and keeps on going. And Damani kind of sat on the slant, kind of sat on the hitch. And, like, buddy, I would too. It's Gunnar Stockton. And, like, I got friends who, you said Gunnar Stockton was really good. I said I was worried about Gunnar's legs. And I said I was worried about making it easy on Gunner pre-snap, letting him know what the coverage is pre-snap, because that's what Tennessee basically did, and he diced him up. He was confident in his decision-making. Kane sat there and said, you ain't going to know if this is man or zone, and you ain't going to know what kind of zone this is pretty much the whole night. And it made Gunner Stockton slow down in the pocket and late to, like, first drive, he almost throws an interception to Deontay Lawson. And second drive, he throws, you know, a bad ball over the middle that ends up in the dirt deep because he's late, because he doesn't know, he's not reading the coverage. I think the secondary is just fine. And I think Damani is just fine. And I think that when you're playing gambling type system and a gambling type coverage, sometimes you're going to have big plays.
Yeah. First of all, I was expecting a lot more running out of Gunnar Stockton.
Me too.
And I know they, they got a pretty big third down conversion late in that game. You know, all out
quarterback draw, basically.
Yeah, but I thought that this was going to be a almost kryptonite. I thought this was gonna, because I mean, look, I had Georgia winning too, and I thought Gunnar's legs were going to be one of the biggest reasons why
he didn't read a couple of these quarterback reads correctly. I think I watched Gunner's post game and Gunner was very quarterback speaky, you know, complimentary of Alabama, and we got to do better and we got to execute better. And they asked him about the 4th-and-1 call, and he goes, "Well, I don't call plays." but he was a quarterback. But I don't think Gunner played amazing. I don't think he played horrible, but I don't think he played amazing. On the second drive, you've got an opportunity. You got 5 yards in front of you. It's 3rd-and-5. You run. You don't have to throw the football into danger, which he ended up doing. Like, run the ball, buddy. Run the ball forward. I thought Gunner played about a B minus. About a B minus to Ty Simpson's A. I think Ty Simpson was about a 93, 94. I think Gunnar Stockton was probably at about a 83, 82.
Yeah, right. Like, it's hard to find anything to knock off Ty's, you know, you threw the near pick and all that. I think 84 is fair for Gunnar. Have the drop touchdown.
Gosh. Yes. I mean, Gunnar, you put the ball right in his spot. And Which drop touchdown was worse, Ryan's or this young man, 11?
I think situationally, well, duh, absolutely. Yes. But, man, Ryan, back-to-back games.
Taylor, true freshman, targeted one time, drop.
I think I've reached the point of concern, right, on these drops.
Ryan.
I just don't get it.
Lock in, buddy.
I just...
You need to throw him a pass, like a two-yard pass right off the bat in every one of these games so he can just straight up drop it.
Yeah.
Because he's had some drops, but like he did locked in. He locked in afterwards. Now, that was like he didn't have very many more opportunities. He ended up with 5 receptions, 43 yards. You get the drop. You get 1, 2, 3, incomplete. 4, 5, right? And obviously one of these screen passes, Georgia defended really, really well. But right here, 3rd and 8, like you have the drop in the first quarter, but 3rd and 8, late in the game, you need to burn some clock. He hits Ryan Williams, and Ryan got smoked.
He got rocked.
and he came up and goes, first down, which you earned it, man. You earned it. Great, great, great play. Really great play. So, like, you just need to – Coach Grubb, can we move forward as you game plan? Can we figure out a way to put the ball in Ryan's hands in the first series? Like, you basically did, but, like, actually hand him the football. Just say, hey, here, feel the football. Don't drop it the rest of the game. Ty basically did. He put it right in his. It was like a 40-yard handoff. 38 dropped on the UGA 14. So that is that's basically a 30-yard handoff. That because it was a handoff that he just straight up dropped.
And it's not the worst drop of the weekend either, because FSU played the day before, and man,
they irritated me on Friday night.
Yes. Look,
I got into the car right after after the Brookwood game, and appreciate Robert for hosting us very, very well at WVUA 23. I got into the car just in time for the overtime, and I thought, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing, Florida State? What's going on? And then I look at the box score, and they asked Tommy Castellanos to throw the ball like 35 times, and he had some interceptions, and it's like, Gus, what are you doing?
Hey, Tommy really impressed me down the stretch.
I mean, losing to Virginia. Anyways, you got any more thoughts on Alabama, Georgia? Because I know you want to take 2 minutes to celebrate your Giants win. We'll do that, and then we'll get out of here. You got any I wanted to hit the Quay injury. We talked about the offensive line. You got any thoughts on the offensive line shuffling? They're madmen. They're absolute madmen.
Yeah, it's sicko.
Yes.
It is. The Grubb said, yeah, we're going to keep shuffling.
He said, we haven't been shuffling enough. Watch me shuffle even more. You like Taco Casa? How about a little Taco Casa at right guard?
It's crazy, like, man.
Just absolute insanity.
Did not think I was going to see Sanders out there, man.
William Sanders, Brookwood High School. And like, by all accounts, I mean, William... former Joe Gaither Show guest, right. First off. And I was at his commitment, and he gave me some time at his commitment. And every time I've spoken to him, first class young man. And like, he's following the Tim Keenan, Jeremy Bernard footsteps as the faith leader on this team. So like, going to give him a lot of credit for that. And also Ty Simpson, shout out to you just being a faith leader.
Incredible answers.
Yes. In your post game. Ty Simpson's post game nearly got me emotional, because you could hear the emotions in his voice, and he was fighting, holding back the tears. And I was just like, yeah, young man, you earned it. Let it out, man. You earned feeling right here. Okay, William Sanders, by all accounts, following all the footsteps of, okay, he's going to be the next faith leader on this team as a sophomore. And just hard worker. I think he's put on the right style weight. He was the right stuff. He was made of the right stuff at Brookwood. You know, I don't want to disparage Brookwood at all. But everybody who's in this area knows that Brookwood football has not been very good over the course of the last however long. I've only been covering football in this area for 5 years, but they haven't been good yet. And when he was at Brookwood, the coach basically was telling me, oh, all these other programs, bigger program X, bigger program Y, is trying to come transfer. We'll make the addresses work. We'll make the transfer to this bigger school. And he just stuck with the Panthers. Good character guy. Great heart. And it was clear he was the best player on the field. He was, oh, there he is out there just road grading for the Panthers. And to see him out there, the first drive that I saw him out there, I'm used to seeing some of the offensive line shuffle so far. And I go, who the is number 70? And then I go, that's Williams. I was watching the game in my living room by myself. That's my preferred style for road games. If I'm not there, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. People texting me, sorry, leave me alone. It's William Sanders, and I'm just giddy as can be. And I know the Brookwood offensive line coach retweeted me. The former Brookwood offensive line coach, he's at Northside now. Go Rams! I was just like, you're crazy. You're crazy, Ryan Grubb. You're crazy, Chris Kapilovich. And then you got, we don't want to take Wilkin Formby fully out of this game. We're just going to kick him down from right tackle to right guard. And honestly, that might be his future.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That might be his future.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You can make a lot of money playing guard in the next level. Hey. I don't know that he can be. I don't want to put any limitations on anybody.
Yeah, it's too early.
I don't want to put limitations on anybody, but I don't know what Wilkin's NFL future is at tackle. But at guard, I can see it pretty cool. I can see it being a thing for real.
Yes.
So I just thought, as you said, we're going to rotate. We haven't rotated enough. I'm just like, what? Oh,
that was.
I've never been around a team watching as a kid, following as a kid. I've never seen a team rotate an offensive line this much out of choice. It's always been, X got hurt, Y got hurt. We got to bring somebody in. Oops, we lost the center. We got to do something. Oh, we lost the right tackle. We got to do something. Everybody shuffles positions by injury. It's never been by choice. And so that's what's just maddening to me. Sorry, I wanted to cover your
ear. No, it was absolutely. It was awesome. Oh. I enjoyed it. And you're going up against a front seven with less talent this week. Not to write them off. Of course, you got to deal with Keanu Coates, which will be a fun one. But, I wonder, I'm curious, and I'm interested in asking, where does the rotation go from here? Is this the
you're standard? They're not going to say. They're going to say, yep, we're going to keep rotating. That's exactly, they're not going to say. I want to ask Ryan Grubb, how many more screens you got, buddy? How many more screens haven't we seen?
Just multiply whatever answer he gives you by three.
Yes. One thing we haven't talked about is Jam Miller. I thought Jam was about as impressive as you could get. He's going to fix the running game. No, he's not.
You're delusional if you came in thinking that Jam was going to fix the running game.
But he squeezed just a little more juice out of it than the others have. And just a physical SOB blocking and pass pro and blocking on the screen game too. It was a commitment to, I get to hit somebody. You're next. Who on the other side wants it? And Jam was giving it to him. I think that's about it. Defensively, you want to talk about anything else defensively? Deontay, I've been on your butt. I've been on your rear end, and you played fairly well. Now, the stat sheet doesn't really go crazy. You know, four tackles, one and a half for a loss. You have the pass breakup on the first series. Did he recover that fumble? He did. He recovered the Bray Hubbard fumble. So, Deontay, man, I need to say good job to you because I have been on Deontay Lawson all year long as not being what we want from the inside linebacker position. Obviously they busted some big runs, but you play better and you're continuing to play better every week.
On Bray Hubbard.
Yeah, go for it.
What a response, man. What a response from that week one, that performance.
Do you think he was sick? Do you think he had food poisoning?
No, I really do think that it was just, season starts, you weren't fully prepared mentally, you didn't fully grasp the gravity of, season starting, and got caught lacking. And man, like I that Wisconsin postgame presser 2 weeks ago, and he shot daggers into this reporter's eyes and said, "You can call me soft. I don't care. I want the motivation." Like just getting fired up. And
Joe Goodman was trying to push an agenda that day.
Yes, he gave me a great headline for an article.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I
but Bray hasn't been playing with the media since that first week.
No.
Which is fine. It's okay. But he has been, he ain't been playing with us.
He has not been. And I understand why. You know, he's getting a lot of NFL draft buzz now. He's starting to climb. That's obviously a long way away. But man, like Bray is, people are taking notice.
My Bears could use a safety in the third round, the fourth round. It's going to be too late for him, though.
Yeah, if he keeps playing like this, it'll certainly be too late. This is going to be a very, very, I think there are going to be a lot of guys taken in the first 2 days from this team.
We'll see. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
They still got a lot of growth to do.
So, Joe, all things considered, I know you're looking to wrap, like, if you were given the script to the first four games of the season back in the beginning of August, said, this is how it's going to go. How would you feel about it?
Well, 3-1, I feel like, oh, we lost to Georgia and it's all right. You're in a good position right here. You're right at the top 10. You obviously you have things to work on, but you have strengths to lean on as well. You have gotten basically immaculate quarterback play outside of that first game. You are still working like immaculate quarterback play behind an offensive line that has been just question mark all over the place. Now they played great in pass pro this past week. You got to give them a lot of credit. Everybody who came in on the offensive line in pass pro was really, really solid. But what I feel, I would feel like this Vanderbilt game is the biggest game of the year. I would feel like, you know, you can't blow it against Vanderbilt because you are 3-1. Like, this ain't the time for a letdown. I would feel good about the season, but I would feel there's still some trepidation for me. There's still some trepidation as far as run defense and competitive character. Now, a lot of the competitive character questions were answered.
Yeah, I feel like that stuff's gone for me now.
A lot of it was answered, absolutely. Just want to go back. I want to own the fact that my prediction was wrong. But I do want to like take some credit here. I said, Alabama, you can win this game one way. You can win this game by getting ahead, staying ahead. You can win this game by winning the turnover battle. They did. You can win this game by taking advantage of drops. They did. Georgia had several drops, not just the big one that would have been a touchdown. You can win this game by controlling the clock. They did. You can win this game by making Gunnar Stockton read the defense. That's exactly what they did. So, like, while I did predict Georgia to win, buddy, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I was all over this son of a gun. I was all over it. Now, I didn't think it would go that way because I thought that was like, this is the 5% things that have to happen. The, you know, for Alabama to kick right off the bat, I thought, DeBoer, you should be receiving. What are you doing? They kick and go 3-and-out, and I thought, wow, unbelievable. And then to march 14 plays, just grinding. I mean, this first drive took how long, Theo?
7 minutes.
Right. And so, yeah, 6:30. Drive. 6:30. And the second drive, 7 minutes. So you go 13 minutes on your first two possessions. Like, and then then after halftime, total reset. Your next drive, you didn't score because it was the ugliest field goal in the world, but 5.5 minutes, 10 plays, 50 yards. Like, you're back into that. We're eating the game away. We're saving our defense. Our defense is not getting gashed continuously because we're going 3-and-out. And so, like, this Alabama staff, they said we can win this game one way. They were this Alabama staff listening to the Joe Gaither show, obviously, duh, because they're not. I mean, maybe one, but they said we can win this game one way, and this is how we're going to, and they executed it. So, like, while the prediction was wrong, I think we were all over this game, Theo.
Yeah, I agree. And another thing we were unfortunately all over was our take preseason that we are just never going to be able to bank on a field goal going in. Right? I mean, man, that was rough.
Did it look blocked from where you were? Because somebody on the Twitter was like, it got blocked. And I was like, no, it didn't.
It did not look blocked to me.
I'll rewatch it. It didn't get blocked.
The miss against FSU, it's not a horrible
right,
miss.
It's like 55 yeah. yards.
This one
I don't expect
just,
that.
Come on.
Yeah. Painful.
We miss what we're rocking around here.
Absolutely. You want to get out of here by giving us a two-minute Giants review?
I would love to, man.
21-18.
We got it done, and I just, Jackson Dart, the future is here.
You need to address Hunter's voicemail. He left you a voicemail calling y'all the worst team in the NFL.
I listened to what you had to say on Tuesday, Hunter. And I just want to get it out there right now that you have to watch what you say about the 2028 Super Bowl champion New York Giants. I mean, just look at what Dart did. Sure, he only threw for about 110 yards. He did what he was asked to do, and he did it well. He did not miss on a lot of balls. He was pressured 21 times and somehow survived.
13 of 20, 111, and one touchdown. Took five sacks. Yeah. Ooh.
Five sacks and 21 pressures.
Oh, and 10 carries, 54 yards rushing, and a touchdown.
Rushing touchdown. Man, him and Scataboo are such a fun duo. I get it. Scataboo is just running around doing backflips. And like,
Scataboo belongs, he looks like he's from my hometown of Rossville, Georgia. Rossville, right outside of Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And it is Trailer Park Central. He looks like he's right.
Scataboo is going to be an inspiration to a lot of people out there.
You're dang right.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. And I will say, it was a fun win. It was awesome to see. This is going to be a very, very, very brutal season. There is going to be a lot of hard times down the stretch this year for New York.
I tried to prepare you.
With, like, it's just pure incompetency. And this needs to be said. The Mariners are, they are the worst owners that don't get any regular backlash. So they are.
That's true.
Yeah, and it is pure greed and pure idiocracy that you're, oh, sure. FIFA, you can come in and pay for our grass for the World Cup in our stadium. Yeah, we'll host the World Cup. We'll take all that MetLife Stadium money then. But no, we won't pay to protect our players. We're going to let Victor Cruz tear his ACL at MetLife. We're going to let Odell do it. We're going to let Malik Nabers do it.
Oh,
it is.
Oh, Malik.
It is a shame. We should be rioting in New York right now over the fact that you still refuse to give grass in the stadium. And now because of that, your QB that you allowed a GM and a coach on the hot seat to draft to try and save their own asses, you allowed them to draft this guy, and now he has to run around for his life because he has no O-line. And because his receiver got hurt because of your grass or lack thereof. And now you're gonna put this guy through the ringer this year. Then you're going to fire the coach and GM. And then you're going to bring in a new group of people who doesn't really have any attachment to this guy. Does this sound familiar at all? Oh, no, I'm just rehashing what's happened the last 5 years where you did it with Daniel Jones already.
Danny Dimes.
You let Ben McAdoo draft Davis Webb in the third round a few years ago, just for him to get cut a week later or a year later. Like, it's just, there's no plan, no coordination. That's got to change now. That has to change immediately. I should not be this upset over a team that just won its first game with a new starter. I should be excited for the future. But you don't get that luxury. You don't get the luxury of the fan base being excited. Shamefully run organization. That's all.
There's your 2 minutes Giants review as the Giants beat the LA Chargers 21-18. I didn't do Bears last Monday because we weren't here last Monday, but two in a row. Oh my God. I have seen the Bears lose that game a million times, 10 million times. ugly performance offensively, finds a way to score a touchdown late in the game, misses the 2-point conversion that would have taken it to three, left way too much time on the clock. I've seen the other team make a game-winning field goal way too many times. And yesterday, the Chicago Bears, Josh Blackwell gets a block, and I might have burned my entire house to the ground. We need Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance, homeowner's insurance policy to kick in right now because I went through the house like a madman. But it doesn't mean much. You're 2-2. We're back to 500. Bears get a bye week. What it means for me is 10 days of peace, not going into a bye week hating life. And so very, very appreciative of you, Ben Johnson. Very, very appreciative of you, Cable Williams. Things are looking up in Chicago, and I am thrilled as a Bears fan. Not really still expecting too much. But just thrilled for two in a row. You can't go on a win streak, Theo, until you win two in a row. So very, very good times. Your fantasy football team looking good this weekend? You ready?
I'm having a horrible year in fantasy.
Oh.
Man, it's bad. I'm about to be 1-3.
I need to stay away from you, Mason, and Hunter, then all my fantasy football like friends, because they are all having bad years. And
having a bad year.
My team is about to win its second week of the we do weekly prizes for high score.
Yeah.
And this is the fourth week, and I'm about to win the weekly prize for the second time.
Well, you know what they say, or they don't say this. This is just my personal philosophy. A bad fantasy football season means a great March Madness bracket.
Okay.
So y'all better listen to my picks in March. One more thing on the NFL real quick. Brock Purdy was very bad. 3 turnovers. Get Mac Jones. Give him the keys to the offense. I think that there's going to be a legit QB controversy
down the
stretch this year in San Fran.
You remember Kyle Shanahan wanted him.
Yeah.
It was like him or Trey Lance.
Uh-huh.
Y'all chose wrong.
He got his guy now.
You chose wrong.
You know, and all things considered, like, Mac has flashes. He really didn't get a fair ending.
He's the perfect quarterback for Shanahan.
He is. And I think they are going to very quickly regret the $250 million that they gave to Brock Purdy.
Mac Jones up in here. Well, we got a guy here. We are going to go over to the Malmore Athletic Facility to praise Ryan Grubb, Kay Womack, and Kayla DeBoer. But not too much. You need to start
not
asking.
Too much,
yeah. You need to start asking. Hey, the fighting Clark Lees, the fighting Diego Pavias are coming to Tuscaloosa. College game day is coming to Tuscaloosa.
Wait, I want to camp that out, man. I think I'm going to do it.
You should. You should. You absolutely should. Camp out for Diego Pavia. What Kalen DeBoer needs to have happen is Diego on that morning show.
Yes.
Bring Diego onto the quad and let him nya-nya-nya with the fans to distract him. That won't happen, but like, that might happen because that's kind of the quarterback he is.
If anyone would do it, it would be him, right?
Oh, my gosh. Go back and watch Diego Pavia at SEC Media Days. You can see us interacting on the Vanderbilt Commodores on SI YouTube channel. I asked him, do you think you're giving away your advantage for, you know, your fly under the radar? He goes, Texas, Georgia, and Alabama don't have to fly under the radar. Why should we?
And, hey, they've that offense has been legit.
So we'll talk about Vanderbilt the rest of the week. Get you ready for the Commodores coming into Tuscaloosa College game day on Saturday morning. So our week just got a lot busier. Nick Saban coming back to town, going to be on the set. You guys, that means McAfee is here on Friday. You know, that means you're free on Fridays, right?
I am.
You going to go out and shirtless and rah-rah with Pat McAfee? How about this? First, yes, this is where I want to close the show. Everybody's in on the whiteout, which you can have whatever opinion you want of it. I think cool college football tradition. Well, ESPN leans all the way into the whiteout with everybody on the panel, white suits. You probably didn't see it because you were in Athens.
I saw the photo of them all sitting there.
White suits, white ties, white pants, white shoes, great. Okay, you're leaning into it. It's a gimmick. I love it. Yeah. I love gimmicks. Everybody, even Pete Thamel, the side guy, the you know, side personality on that show, who's a reporter, good reporter, yeah, really solid guy. Everybody's leaned into white, everything white. But dead gummit, Pat McAfee, could you not find a white jacket? You're wearing lemon. You're wearing like this off yellow. You're wearing this beige. You're wearing this. Everybody else is in white, but you've got to stand out by wearing this off lemon colored jacket. You're a turd for that. You're like we get it. You're the cool guy. You're the wild card. You're the fun guy. But just be that with your pride.
It's not that deep.
Look at me, Louie. Look at me. Everybody else is wearing white, but I've got my special yellow coat on. Rub me the wrong way. Ruined the whole morning. The whole morning program for me. I put it on mute and said, I ain't watching this. I ain't watching you, Pat. Which, you know, 50-50 on Pat. They made the kick, $300,000.
Yeah. Joe, I'll tell you, I think Pat's going to pick Vandy this week.
Surely not. He loves the Tide.
He loves the Tide, but like
he,
I feel like...
He loves the Tide.
I feel like he's going to be all over Pavia. And
who wouldn't? If you're ever around Diego, like, oh... You spend infection. 5 minutes around Diego Pavia, and you're like, yes, I'm running through a wall for you.
Highlight of SEC media. And I spent most of the time talking to Randon Fontenay, who very, very, very good player. But, man, Pavia is just...
You could feel his energy in that entire room.
Yeah, just surrounded by the...
It's a huge room.
Yes.
God, he filled that whole place up. And he is coming to Tuscaloosa this weekend. So we'll talk about it the rest of the week. Stay with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show. Call us on the voicemail line. We want to thank all of our voicemailers, basically carrying the show at 205-462-7340, extension 800 today. As the Crimson Tide defeated the Georgia Bulldogs 24-21, y'all rubbed it in my face. Y'all were so nice. Y'all were nice about it. I got it wrong, but y'all were so, so nice about it. You can be a little harsher next time if you'd like. It's a-okay. I can take it. I got thick skin. We have a lot of fun on this program. We're going to be talking Vanderbilt the rest of the week. We're going to talk to Kayla DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, and Kane Womack about their victory and about rolling the week forward. How do you not fall into last season's trap? You beat Georgia. You beat Big Bad Georgia. But Vanderbilt lurking around the corner. We'll talk about it tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.